This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Lyons, alongside Tom Carroll on WEI. We've got Lou Maloney coming up in just a few minutes. He's still down in Fort Myers. He was at that press conference this morning. And I'm really interested to get his thoughts on a bunch of what we've been talking about, because if the Red Sox, Tom, are signaling a change in how they're doing things, an increased aggressiveness, hopefully this is just step one. Like, this is year one in that, and I wonder how the prospects line up with it. I wonder how their whole timeline is, but the hope is this is not a flash in the pan off season. It's year one of kind of the next phase.
Yeah, and there's been smoke about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. being a guy that's going to be in Boston here next year, right? So maybe this is laying the foundation down. And if this team can be really good this year and win 88, 89, 90 games, have a playoff run, whatever, Bregman changes the culture, Crochet comes in and dominates, then Boston is a hot baseball market again. That's going to make this an even more attractive place to come, especially if the franchise shows it's open for business and willing to pay lots of money for good players.
And joining us now on the phone line is Lou Maloney. Lou, welcome into the program. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Right now I'm on like hole 16, par 3, but it's going so poorly for me that I've decided to take a mental break for this hole.
So, Lou, I was just going to say, you've been a lot busier than us over the past few days with all these Red Sox, the signings, the press conferences, everything. I mean, how is the vibe of everything down in spring training right now?
It feels normal again. You know what I mean? Like too many times you come down here in camp the last two or three years and you know, you're talking to players on the side and it's like, hey, what's going on? Like, why didn't we do this? I thought we were doing that. Why aren't we, you know? And I think this year, that's not normal, by the way. And this year it kind of feels like it is. Like, guys kind of walking into camp excited to come in, you know, wanting to work out, looking around the clubhouse and seeing, you know, Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler and Aroldis Chapman and now, Alex Bregman. I mean, it's like, yeah, like, let's go. Let's do this. When did the game start?
So, Lou, what changed for this front office? Like, what clicked where they were like, you know what? Let's start operating how we used to operate. And now you can see the buzz in the city is real for the Red Sox again, going into spring training and then eventually towards opening day. That hasn't been here in 5 years, 6 years, maybe longer.
Yeah, no, it's, I was talking about it like last year a lot, like why they didn't spend. And I'm like, the reality is they didn't believe in the team. And they were sort of realized where they were and they, you know, unfortunately they just didn't say it. You know, if they came out a couple years ago and said, listen, we need to see what we have. Like, we're not going to spend. And I don't agree with that, by the way, because I think you spend right to the cap and while you're rebuilding, you spend money while the kids are performing, but that's not the avenue they went. And by kind of giving guys opportunities to play and learn at this level, you found out what, you know, Casas and Wong and, Hamilton and Rafaela and Hauk and Bayo and Crawford Abreu, you found out like maybe what they could do. So in hindsight, if it was just a little bit more openness, transparency of what was really going on, because they didn't spend the last 2 years, let's face it. And once they saw that, they have shown in the past that when they think they're ready to win, that they'll spend like they did in 16 when the system was where it was, and 17 and then 18 finally, you know, getting over the top here with the guys like JD Martinez. So it's just, for them, it's sort of like timing, you know, and agree with it, disagree with it. I'd always like to see them spend regardless, but now is the time to spend, given what they saw and where these kids are in AAA.
So, Lou, Alex Bregman comes in as someone that won a Gold Glove at third base last year. Early reports are he's going to play second base, but it feels like Alex Cora, at least to me, Lou, has been a little bit tepid on where exactly Bregman might play, and he's mentioned about having conversations with Devers. How do you expect, or how do you think this could kind of shake out? Like, is Bregman just their second baseman? Is this contingent on Christian Campbell and how he does? Like, how do you think this is going to shake out?
Yeah, it's kind of honestly the way it should be. Like, I'll say this right now, Alex Bregman's your second baseman, unless Christian Campbell proves that he can play second base and he's ready to play in the big leagues defensively. Okay. Offensively, everybody thinks he's ready. Defensively, there needs to be some proof there because, you know, we go over this all the time. Everyone's like, well, Devers is an awful third baseman, you know, and Bregman's an improvement. Yeah, he is. But do we realize how bad second base has been for the last 3 or 4 years? Like, have you seen Grissom last year? He wasn't comfortable playing second. The best second baseman they got is David Hamilton. He's not an everyday player. So if Campbell can't turn a double play and if Grissom can't turn a double play, I want Bregman at second. Those are more important. You know, Devers, he is what he is. You know what I mean? But it's like I need somebody to be able to catch the baseball at second before Bregman gets off of it. And if somebody knocks the door down and shows that they can handle it, then you make that move and he becomes your third baseman. Devers is your DH, your slow play Yoshida. Maybe he's not ready to start the year, you know, in quotes, IL for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then, you know what? You play it out. I guarantee by the end of April, someone gets hurt.
So with
not
Devers,
that I wanted to, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's baseball for you. But when it comes to Devers, and you mentioned it, you know, Bregman, if he ends up at third, Devers is your DH. But it's been made clear with the reporting, and he hasn't come out and said it per se, but he doesn't want to be a DH. And if it does come to a situation where Campbell shows he's ready to be your second baseman and Bregman moves to third, sorry, buddy, you got to go and be the DH. Sorry, you got to go and be a hitter, which you are awesome at. And in theory, that should make you a better hitter if you just have to focus on that. So what's the hang up there for Devers? Why is he slow to want to embrace that?
There isn't. That's over with. I mean, they've already had conversations. I think he's willing to, he's not worried about it. I don't think anybody's really worried about it. I mean, it'll be an adjustment trying to learn how to DH, but I think the minute they got involved with Arenado and Bregman a while back, like, they could say whatever they want publicly. They've had discussions with him. And, pride's going to be hurt a little bit because I think everybody takes pride in, you know, so I didn't have the great year defensively. I'm going to keep working, try to get better, and show everybody what I can do. And then they say, you know what, that attempt is over. You're now a DH. So I don't think anyone's really worried about it at all. I think he'll accept it when it comes to that, which I think will happen. You know, again, like Bregman, if he starts at second base because they don't feel second baseman's ready, I think Alex Bregman, if he's here for 3 years or if he's here for 2 years, he's playing more third base than he is second. I think he ends the year at third.
So, Lou, I think, and I want to get your opinion on this as a player, I think one of the most valuable pieces of the Bregman signing is the fact that it's a guy who's been a leader on two world championship teams, and he's played in October. Yeah. He's won those rings. Because you look at this Red Sox lineup, Devers won a World Series, but he was really in the pecking order, the third or fourth guy on that 2018 team. Nobody else has had deep October experience. I mean, how valuable is what Bregman, from a championship experience perspective, brings to the table? How valuable can that be to this lineup?
Yeah, he's extremely valuable in all aspects. That's one of them. 99 playoff games. Devers is, what, 26? Story's got 5. That's it. No one else has been in the postseason. Like, nobody, as far as hitters go. So, you know, the game changes there. There's some experience. The game speeds up on you. To have a guy that kind of treats the postseason like it's the regular season, it doesn't change for him. It doesn't affect him. Let these guys know what to expect. You know, that press conference, I don't know if you heard it off, but, like, the first 30 seconds, like, they asked Alex a question, Bregman, and he's just like, listen, I've been to the playoffs 8 straight years. I plan on being back there again this year. I'm a winning player. These are winning teams, and we're going to win. And sat back in the seat, and I was like, damn.
It's music to my ears, Lou. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, his locker's right next to Campbell. He's out there watching him take ground balls. Like, that is where the value comes in. Like, obviously, he's, I think, a very good player, and he's a Gold Glove defender wherever he plays on the dirt. But these conversations with these young guys, like, it is so needed. Like, Devers just isn't that guy. You know, like, that's whatever. It is what it is. Story is, but he's been hurt a lot, right? So to bring a guy like Bregman to sit and talk to these guys about, like, you know, what are you thinking? What's your approach? By the way, what do you think this guy's going to do to you? You know, and just those conversations are so valuable in the regular season. In the postseason, it's even more so.
Do you think they're done? Do you think that they're going to go out and make another move? Okay.
No, I don't. I think, and we'll see what happens. I mean, yeah, you're still hearing them talking to teams, you know, whether it's through trade or whatnot. Like, I tell you, the one thing I don't get is, and I don't know, I haven't talked to anybody about it, like, David Robertson's still sitting out there, correct? Unless he signed today? Like,
as far as I know, yeah, he's still out there, yeah.
Like, it's a one-year deal. Like, I want as many opportunities, as many kicks to can, you know, as I possibly can with an experienced guy like that. Like, just out there with the rest of this group. The other area, too, that it is a little concerning is catcher. You know, like, Connor's done a really nice job of posting the last couple of years as an everyday guy. He goes down for a month. Like, I don't know. Like, Carlos Narváez is here. They like him. He's a AAA big league guy, and they like him a lot. But then who's your backup? You know, I guess you can go find a Danny Jansen at all times. But I don't know. I'd like to see him get one more reliever.
Talking with Lou Maloney here on WEEI. Lou, I want to ask you about Garrett Crochet, who's been traded for to be the ace of this staff. Last season, he was sensational in his work with the White Sox, but only threw 146 innings last year, and I know a lot of that was intentional and how they managed him. But with that limited experience and the limited innings last year, from what you've seen, how are the Red Sox managing his ramp-up so he can hopefully throw 175, 180 innings or more this year?
Yeah, I think you kind of look at his year, and we saw with a guy like Cutter Crawford, too, to where it was like, you know, once you get to 140, 150, you know, all hands off the next year, like, we're good. Like, we got that foundation year. The White Sox did a nice job with him, managing him, and you know, they could have given him six or seven more just starts all out and then stop him. Instead, it was, no, we're going to get you 30 starts, but we're only limiting you for 60 pitches, you know, four innings at a time. So I think they did a good job of doing your work for you, setting this guy up to sort of, you know, go 180 innings, go 185 innings. That's a nice buildup from 145, whatever he was. So I don't think they're too concerned about it really at all. So I think they're just excited to see this guy take the mound every fifth day.
So sticking with pitching, there's been some smoke the last day or so with Dylan Cease and the Padres and possibly making a move there. The Red Sox doing their due diligence more than an aggressive pursuit is what Sean McAdams said with Mass Live. From what you've seen from Dylan Cease, let's not talk about if you think it's going to get done or anything like that, but just as a guy that watches the sport and has watched Cease, what do you see in him that could be a huge benefit for the Red Sox bringing in a player like that?
Well, I mean, he's a stud. You know, I mean, he's a guarantee. You know, it's almost like a Corbin Burns signing for the Orioles. You know what he's going to be, you know. The question is, you know, it's just an odd signing, right? Like, you're sitting there like, okay, I mean, you got Crochet, you got Buehler, you got Giolito, you're sitting there with six. Now, there's some concerns, you know, with Crawford, maybe that knee, patella, they think it's just some tendonitis. Bale was just recently shut down. He started throwing again, a little soreness in his shoulder. So I don't know, but it's like, you know, it's 1 year of Dylan Cease, you know, like I don't know. It's uncomfortable. Who are you going to give up for him? Like, to me, it feels like Baltimore Orioles written all over it. And if you know that Cease is going to get dealt, I think you continue to make calls just to monitor the market to see what it could take. You might be surprised what the asking price is. You never want to be surprised and be like, damn, we could have done that. You know, so I think it's more of that. And to be honest with you, my opinion, hopefully you're having conversations with San Diego. And while you're talking about mentioning Dylan Cease, you're talking about Suarez, because that's the dude that I want, their closer.
Well, I wouldn't mind Fernando Tatis Jr. either.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Let's get greedy.
Yeah, why not? Look, Lou, we've talked a lot in this show already ourselves, and we kind of alluded to it earlier in your call. Now that they've brought in a Crochet, a Bregman, as you said, it feels like they believe in this team. What are your expectations? I mean, this team that went 81-81 last year, but they feel a lot better than they were last season. I know it's early, but just from what you've seen, what are your kind of expectations for the Red Sox this year?
It's to make the playoffs, period. If they don't, it'll be a massive disappointment. So before, I always felt like to be in it, to have a shot, you know, the last few years, you'd say things like, I just want meaningful baseball in September. And if everything breaks right, if guys get healthy, if guys step up, whatever, maybe you got a shot. And it was kind of like that last year for about 5 months. Like, you're in it. Guys were stepping up, but they just ran out of gas. They didn't have enough bullets. You know, they had too many young guys experiencing pressure games in September and August, and that wears you down. So those guys got another year under their belt. But it's simple. I mean, it's if you don't make the playoffs, this is a huge disappointment.
So, Lou, before we let you go, I just wanted to mention I am a former intern of Mutt and Merlone back in the summer of 2013 during that magical summer.
Sorry
for
about
the
that.
Red Sox. Yeah. Look, it was a great year of baseball. I don't know if it was a great summer of radio, but I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. And thanks for coming on with us, man. It's good.
You
kind of
it.
A full circle moment here for me being your former intern and now getting to talk with you on the radio. So really appreciate it.
All good, man. All good. People,
enjoy those last
let me
two
ask
holes.
You guys a question.
Sure.
Yep. Let me ask you guys a question. Are people kind of still crapping on the Bregman deal, trying to just be angry for no reason at all, or is everybody kind of excited?
Lou, as you know, we work in sports radio, so everyone hates right. everything at all times. You know, so but look, I gotta say, just from a lot of what I've seen and talking to fans, and I think a lot of people are pretty happy about it. I mean, I think from a lot of the fans we've talked to, Lou, it's a guy people actually know, right? It's a big name, a champion that they know is going to be good. And, you know, the opt-out thing after a year, I think, is something that people are like, oh, maybe Christian Campbell will be good, or maybe he'll stay, or maybe they'll sign someone else. But as I said, we work in sports radio, so everyone hates everything. But a lot of this reaction, I will say, has been pretty good overall.
I think most of it has been positive. I think when you're hearing the negative feedback on Bregman, it's people looking for another angle. They just don't want to be
excited. They don't want the Red Sox to be good.
It helps their narrative. It helps their agenda to say, oh, well, actually, it's only a one-year deal. And, oh, like, he's actually a declining player. And you know, it's like, come on. Like, they just spent a lot of money to go get a stud who's won a lot in the postseason. Like, they need this guy in the clubhouse. Shut up.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing, too, is just to kind of, you know, they'll never spend again. You know, this is the way it's always going to be. And it just sort of was like, okay, hold off on that thought. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is, and that's important back home. Mm-hmm. People want to see this team spend. And then by doing this move, it sort of brings you like, okay, you know, that's really people like, okay, maybe we will be back acting like the Red Sox again. So it's a positive.
That would be fun.
He is Lou Merlone, and he's got to get back out to the golf course to get a couple holes in one before the end of the day. Lou, we really appreciate you taking the time, and have a great rest of your round.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. All right, rest of it at least.
All right, thanks, Lou.
All right, he is Lou Merlone.